My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3.
You cheap.
And one plays scratch offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bin. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Send all your favorite turn-up songs to the text line. Nolan will take care of the rest from there. Right now, we're joined by my guy Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens. Does work at Ravens Wire as well. What's going on, Kevin?
We got preseason. What's going on, guys? We got preseason football in the works this week, which is awesome for the Ravens. I mean, we've been waiting for that moment forever, and we finally got it coming up right now.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, obviously it's a lot of different guys that people want to see in this game. Most of them probably won't be playing in this game. But out of the guys that we expect to play in the preseason, who are some of the guys you're excited to get a look at?
Yeah, I definitely think the big competition or competitions for me are on the offensive line, where, you know, we're certainly set. You know, when you talk about for the Ravens at center, they're good there with Tyler Linderbaum, and he wasn't going to play anyway, especially with his injury status. And Ronnie Stanley, they're also set there. But with those other three spots, losing 60% of their offensive line and of the big competitions of been that right guard position with Daniel Falele, and, you know, how does Ben Cleveland factor into this whole thing? I know they're kind of sniffing around some other offensive line help too with a guy like Connor Williams potentially, but also, you know, Andrew Voorhees, who is, you know, kind of looks like he has a grip on that left guard spot. Roger Rosengarten also getting reps with the ones now by all accounts. So it feels like to me that offensive line, you know, it's so key for them to get production out of that group. Because, you know, Kevin Zeitler is a good player still. Morgan Moses, when he's healthy, is a good player still. And obviously they decided to go a little bit younger. So these competitions, especially that right guard spot, is the one I'm looking out for this preseason.
Yeah, you know what's going to stink is if there's heavy rain on Friday night, which they're calling for, you know, how much can you really gain from that? That's almost going to be like a lost game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and at that point, you want to be cautious with your guys. And again, like you want to get through it and everything. But we're not going to see again a bunch of any starters from the Ravens. I mean, I'd be pretty shocked if we saw a bunch of high profile guys. We're not going to. But again, it's like if that happens, the pieces that are playing in this game are still important, especially the ones that start. So you don't want to go out there and play all these guys in that crazy weather. I mean, it's not worth it in the preseason. So I agree with you. It's if the weather does not cooperate for the Ravens, I mean, can you really gain a lot out of that game? I mean, I guess it shows you how some players play in the elements, but does that increase the risk of injury? I think that's another thing the Ravens would have to consider with that. So it's something to keep in mind and something to keep an eye out for sure.
We're talking to Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens and Ravens Wire's Vinny and Haney on 105.7. the Fan. And Kevin, has been a lot of talk about Rashad Bateman taking the next step and being a bigger part of this offense. To this point in camp, he's done, you know, he's done his part. He's been involved when he's out there, and staying out there is another one of the challenges that he's trying to get over right now. But are you buying Rashad Bateman being a big part of this Ravens offense this season?
Yeah, to your point, if he stays healthy, I certainly am. But that is the big question. And to me, I think that he's a player that has so much talent, so much potential. But we're talking about the word potential in year four. And, you know, for a lot of guys, usually that is because either their careers haven't gone as anticipated or injuries have taken a toll. And I think for Rashad Bateman, it's been kind of both, where he hasn't been able to stay on the field, hasn't been able to get chemistry with Lamar, and even to start this training camp period here over the last couple of weeks. It was, well, Lamar was out with the illness, and then Lamar came back, and then Rashad Bateman had to miss some time, and he got hurt. So again, it's about them establishing chemistry together, but the Ravens are putting all of their eggs in the Rashad Bateman basket, it looks like, in terms of that wide receiver two position. And for him, we know he's a good route runner. We know that he can make plays and can work multiple levels of the field, but there have also been some issues for him over the course of his career that I do think come down to him just not being able to be on the field. So to me, I think that if he can stay healthy, he can be a big part of the offense. Yeah, the part of that, though, is I think he does have to graduate from that 2 to 4 target range, where if Baltimore becomes more balanced on offense this season, still being a run-first team, obviously, but being able to spread that ball around a little bit more, I think that will benefit him in a huge way.
Now, Kevin, one of the biggest surprises to me so far in camp is Owe, you know, and I don't want to get too excited because I have in the past, and then, you know, I get disappointed during the season, but he looks like his repertoire of pass rush moves is a little better. Seems like he's got a little bit more power. And then on the other end, a disappointment to me has been Ajabo. Ajabo is not healthy. You know, I mean, he's been cleared to practice, but he'll drag that leg and stuff at times, too. And he can't bend the corner very well.
Yeah, they needed Afe Owe in a huge way this season, especially because you mentioned their other outside linebacker depth is young and inexperienced. And, you know, you feel okay with Calvin. Obviously, if Owe can get right and have, you know, he's been like okay, but I think everybody's waiting for that Madubuike breakout from him this season. Hopefully it gets there. I think, again, his off-season work, OTAs, minicamp, training camp, it's all been good. But the depth behind those two does concern me a lot. They obviously lost Malik Ham for the season, and Tavius Robinson I expect to have a bigger role this year, but I think Ajabo is kind of that wild card for them. Of like, if he can step up and contribute, well, okay, that's great. But you also, if you're Baltimore, don't want to put all your eggs in that basket, because he has had a serious injury in his first two NFL seasons. He hasn't, I mean, he's shown something when he's been on the field, but again, this is a player, two lower leg injuries like that are not easy for any player to come back from. And it's tough, right? I mean, you have an ACL last year, you have the Achilles at your pro day that cost you most of your rookie season. Coming into the draft, he was already considered a project. He has an array of pass rushing moves. He's talented, but he's going to need time. I'm not expecting David Ajabo to come in there and have 10 sacks off the bat and be this like incredible number one pass rusher for them. I don't think that should be the expectation for anybody, but they do need something out of him this season. And if they don't get it, they might have to look to the trade market or someone who's on the free agent market, because right now, outside of Kyle Van Noy, their outside linebacker group is very, very inexperienced for the most part. And I think that early on in the season, we'll kind of see what that looks like. And then obviously we do know that Eric Acosta, if he sees something that he doesn't like or he sees something that needs improving, he is very proactive in terms of going out there and getting something.
Kevin, we saw a couple of guys last year take a big step in their development. Brandon Stevens had a good year last year. We saw Kyle Hamilton become an All-Pro. Who are you looking at this year to take that next step? Maybe not to go from where they are to being an All-Pro necessarily, but who are you looking at to take the next step in their development?
Yeah, I really like what Travis Jones brings to the table for the Ravens this season. I know Justin Madubuike did have the breakout. He was the guy everybody was talking about last season, but to me, Travis Jones is just so talented. He's incredible as a run defender. He has an array of moves as a pass rusher. He's powerful. And his pass rushing plan, I think, is something as well that, you know, he knows what he wants to do. So I feel like in that defensive line room, they have a lot of good players there with Matabike, Michael Pierce, Brent Urban, Broderick Washington even. I mean, their depth is pretty stacked, but I think for me, Baltimore should give a bigger role to Travis Jones this season. I think, obviously, it's the potential that he has is through the roof. And the Ravens, getting pressure from anywhere is important. Obviously, I think when a lot of people talk about, oh, quarterback pressures and sacks and whatnot, well, everybody looks to outside linebackers. But obviously, we saw with Justin Madubuike, the importance of interior pressure is through the roof. And so, to me, I think him hopefully having somewhat of a bigger role this season, I think he will do wonders for the Ravens if he's able to get on the field a lot and produce in whatever role he has.
Kevin, great stuff as always. Let the people know how they can follow you and find keep up with your work.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me. As always, you can find me over on Twitter, Instagram, ChaosStriker34. I host Locked On Ravens 5 days a week, so you can find me over there Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts, or on YouTube. I also write for the Ravens Wire, so you can find written content over there, do stuff from Bleacher Report, and also do work with the Ryan Ripken Show as well.
Kevin, appreciate you, man. We'll talk again next week.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kev.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around, see what went on in the world of sports last night. We'll check in on one of these AL East teams as well. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Romy swings, strikes it well. Left center field. Is Bell's back and it's gone. Romy goes deep and blows this one open.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. We're getting you the whip around right now, and you just heard that call courtesy of Ness and Red Sox. They get the 9-5 victory. You heard that home run from Romy Gonzalez. Pinch hit home run at that. Red Sox win the game against Kansas City on the road in a game that they need right now. Both of these teams are fighting for the wild card spots. The Royals, they hold the last wild card spot right now in the American League. The Red Sox a game and a half behind the Royals following that win. Red Sox winning 6 of the last 10, trying to make this playoff push here as we're now officially in playoff push season now with the trade deadline coming and going. We're in August, 2 more months of the regular season. And Red Sox, this is a team that one of the best scoring teams in all of baseball this year, looking to stay hot at the right time so they get the much needed victory on the road last night. Let's go out to Cleveland, a team that the Orioles made it. They just made it out of Cleveland, taking 2 of 4 in that series. Now the Guardians welcome the Diamondbacks to town.
Jock drives it deep to right field. Jock Peterson has done it one more time. Jock Peterson gives them the lead in Cleveland. He did it yesterday in Pittsburgh, and he's done it again tonight. Wow!
That call courtesy of Diamondbacks TV. Jock Peterson gets the 2-run home run in the top of the 8th to give the Diamondbacks the lead. They would end up, the Guardians would end up tying that game in the bottom of the 9th, but the Diamondbacks, they get the sack fly from Suarez to score Corbin Carroll in the top of the 10th to win this game 7-6. In extra innings, Guardians, they fall to 67-45 on the year. Diamondbacks 61-52. You talk about playoff wild card teams trying to get in. Diamondbacks right now, they hold that second wild card spot in the National League. They're tied right now with the Braves and the Padres. All three of those guys kind of hovering around that 54% winning percentage right now. Things have gotten really tight in the National League. The Mets a game and a half behind the Padres for that last wild card spot, and the Pirates right behind them and the Cardinals, both of those guys 4 games behind. So we're now in that time of year where we're going to start to see some of these teams trying to separate themselves. Yep. As we get deeper and deeper into this playoff push.
You know what, Cordell, it's going to come down to who can go on that hot streak, who can win 10 of 12, something like that, to gain some separation. And that's what it's about this time of the year. I mean, you look when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, what'd they do? They got hot at the end. And that's what you're going to have to do. And, you know, like you said, Cordell, players can relax. Trade deadline's over and gone. Now you can get zeroed in and focused because you can see the finish line. You can see it and you can feel it. And you get a little more energy now.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're in August. You know, because I thought in July the Orioles looked a little tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they were like a little bored, long season and everything. But now trade deadline's over, finish line, you can see it. You know, the Yankees, Boston's coming. So, yeah, it's exciting now.
Out in Oakland, the Chicago White Sox, I mean, these were two terrible teams duking it out last night, the A's and the White Sox. It doesn't get much worse than the White Sox as they fall to the A's 5-1. White Sox lose their 21st consecutive game. That ties the 88 Orioles for the longest losing streak in the American League. Are the White Sox going to break that record tonight? They are. That first pitch is at 9:40. Let's see who's on the mound for the White Sox, because that may make somewhat of a difference.
Well, the White Sox aren't really even competitive.
Jonathan Cannon on the mound, so no, there'll probably be another loss. Ross Stripling for the A's, and he's even worse. So, I mean, it's like the battle of who's worse in this one. But the White Sox, and I just came from Chicago, and the worst thing you can do is mention the Chicago White Sox in Chicago right now.
Yeah, the South Side, you know, I mean, you know what the thing about Chicago is, Cordell? You have your North Siders, you have your South Siders, you mm-hmm. have your Sox fans, and they love the Sox, they hate the Cubs, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So it's a really interesting city.
Indeed it is. And in the NFL, of course, the big news recently has been Brandon Ayuk. Looking like he's potentially going to get a trade here. Went from being the Commanders and the Steelers as the two destination spots. I think Ayuk really wanted to go to those spots, and doesn't seem like either of those teams are going to really be in play for him. It's now looking like it's coming down to the New England Patriots and the AFC East AFC North, I should say, Cleveland Browns, as well as the two contenders for Brandon Ayuk. I don't know if he, you know, but the Patriots are just, they're at the bottom of the barrel. So right. I don't know how much Brandon Ayuk helps them, as good as a receiver as he is. The Browns is a little more intriguing, but I just don't know if Deshaun Watson right now is getting the most out of anybody. That offense didn't really pick up until Joe took over.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The thing about it is that, you know, what makes it difficult to trade. I mean, if I'm Cleveland and I'm New England and I was Pittsburgh and you know, the teams that were in Washington, you know, because what they're doing is, and the GM in Washington knows him better than anybody, because he was with him and right. was there when they drafted him. But the thing that San Fran wants is, San Fran wants, you know, great draft picks. But if I'm the other team, I'm saying, listen, I got to give you great compensation. Then I got to pay him.
Right.
Also, you know, I can wait, you know, till this summer and I can bid on him for the same amount that I'm going to pay him now, or maybe a little bit more, and I don't have to give up any compensation. I mean, that's the issue that those teams are dealing with. I mean, with Cleveland is, Cleveland's saying, we're going for it this year.
Right.
You know, we're getting younger and those type of things. Where New England's saying, this type of free agent wouldn't come here. You know, so we can get him and give up a little, and we can help our young quarterback for the future.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, when you've got to pay him, that makes it a little less desirable when it comes to trade compensation, because wide receivers are getting a lot of money these days, and it's not like Brandon Ayuk is going to want to be middle of the pack.
He's going to want to start with a three.
Yeah, and, you know, and in the age where so many good young receivers come through in the draft every year for cheap,
yep,
I would be more willing to go that route. As much as I like Brandon Ayuk, and I do think the world of him, I don't know if I'm looking to pay him. And if I'm the Niners, I wouldn't be upset if I got to keep Brandon Ayuk this year, because the reality is, I mean, what's Deebo Samuel's shelf life at this point?
He's
takes a lot of contact.
Yeah.
Last year, his body was breaking down on him as the year went on. I don't know if you really want to rely on him and Jennings and those guys to be the primary source of your wide receiver group. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's not moved at all, honestly.
Well, back to your point too, Cordell, about New England. I mean, New England may have the first pick of the draft.
Right.
And you're going to be able to get a heck of a receiver for a lot cheaper at that time. So, you know, I mean, your second round, whatever pick you're going to give up, whether it be a one or a two or a three, I don't know what they're asking for. But those are extremely good picks if you're the Patriots.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Ryan Ripken, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, also the host of the Ryan Ripken Show. Talk some Baltimore Orioles baseball with him. That's next here on The Fan. Orioles baseball with him. Orioles looking to make it three straight wins with the win tonight out in Toronto. We know how much these guys love playing the Blue Jays. We know how much Ryan Mountcastle loves playing these guys. And it probably couldn't be happening at a better time for the Orioles right now, as a lot of their bats in this lineup seem to be picking it up here recently. Jackson Holliday has been on fire since he's been called back up. Gunnar Henderson hit his first home run since the All-Star break the other day. Looks like Adley is starting to break out of this slump, and that can kind of join in with an Anthony Santander who just can't stop hitting home runs these days.
And Kowser's been
out of this world too. Yeah.
So those young guys are doing a really good job. And Cordell, like you said, the schedule couldn't have played out perfectly. You know, you get Toronto, who's, you know, after the trade deadline, they were sellers. You got Tampa, who was sellers after the trade deadline. You got them, and you're a good road team. Now, what you got to do is, when you go to the Torontos and the Tampas, you got to take care of business.
Right, right.
You can't be, you know, like the Cubs losing all three games. You can't have those kind of pitfalls in August, especially with the Yankees playing better.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. With the division as close as it is right now, and the Yankees seeming like they've righted the ship, it looks like Jazz Chisholm has really given them a jolt of energy since he's been traded there. It's a big part of why the Orioles need to stay hot. And we've got Ryan Ripken joining us now, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, host of the Ryan Ripken Show. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Hey, not much. How are we doing this Tuesday?
Wonderful. Not bad. We're turning it up. We're turning it up here on 105.7 The Fan. And we were just talking a little bit about what's going on with the Orioles here recently, looking to make it three straight wins out in Toronto tonight. And Jackson Holliday, he's been a pleasant surprise for the Orioles since joining this team. Back's got two home runs, including that grand slam for his first career home run at the big league level. What are you seeing and Jackson Holliday now compared to what we saw in his first stint at the majors?
Well, first thing, it felt like, you know, he finally, that home run, he took an even deeper breath, right? Of just, all right, I checked one thing off. I know I can play here. I was looking for a result that can kind of validate that, right? You know, and honestly, I thought it was a lot of internal pressure he was feeling and expectations the first time, and external, right? Everyone was expecting him to hit the ground running because of all success in the minor leagues, because how at times easy he made it in the minor leagues, and then the expectations of, you know, being the number one overall pick and his family lineage and all that. So what I've seen, honestly, is a guy that's comfortable, a guy that's calm. And then as far as, like, you know, if you're going to say mechanically, I think just your approach as a hitter, you know, a lot of balls, I did a breakdown on this yesterday, you know, he would fall out a lot, meaning when he'd swing or swing and miss, his body would be falling away from the ball away, right? But if you go and look at his at-bats now, and you go and look at his hit chart so far, he's really staying up the middle, taking hits to left center, and then the two homers are on breaking balls. So he's not trying to pull the baseball anymore unless the right opportunity presented itself. So I'm seeing a guy that's showing why he has so much talent and the ability to hit it to all parts of the field, and it's shining through now.
Hey, Ryan, what are you seeing about him defensively and his arm? Because he missed, what, like 15 days mm-hmm. with, you know, so you're seeing the arm strength that he needs?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think defensively as a whole, that's the one that's going to take just more adjusting, because he has taken the least amount of reps at second base. And because of the reason you said of, you know, the elbow inflammation, I'm not worried about that long term. I think the biggest part right now is him just trying to get used to playing a different position is still going to be one of the challenges for him. You know, it's still, as much as he's gotten reps in the minors, he hasn't gotten enough reps yet overall at second base. But he's going to continue to get better with it. And, you know, and the hardest thing I think sometimes is even on your communication on that side, how you're going to turn double plays, where you need to be. There's just the experience of getting out there each and every day that he'll be able to do it. But talent-wise, arm strength-wise, yeah, he'll be good at the position. Now it's just getting those reps under him, and fans have to also realize he's going to make errors, he's going to make mistakes. It's all part of that process.
We're talking to Ryan Ripken, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, host of the Ryan Ripken Show, is Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Ryan, it seems like the back end of the bullpen is kind of by committee these days, no real certified roles right now. How soon could we see Craig Kimbrell get back into that closer role, if at all?
Well, I think that he definitely could. I think that how you just described it, that the Orioles are going to be a committee, all hands on deck is maybe how I'll say it. But, you know, the biggest thing for me going into this trade deadline was, do you have guys that are comfortable in the high leverage situations consistently? And now, not even high leverage situations, you're going to have to find guys that are comfortable closing. And so it is encouraging. We've seen Cano in the past, and last year he had his flashes and moments. And then he's kind of, you know, had his struggles outside of the, you know, that setup man role that he had. And the closing role was not always maybe his quote-unquote specialty. But you got to ask yourself, can the Orioles have guys that can finish a game? Yes. Now the bigger question is going to be, are those guys consistently going to give you what you want? And whether people want to bash Craig Kimbrell and all this, he's still up there in saves in Major League Baseball. And I know he's had some inconsistencies the last, you know, 3 weeks or so, but we can't discredit what he does when he's on. So the Orioles are going to need him no matter what. So that's the biggest thing. They're going to need him to get right, because with this committee, you don't know whose night it's going to try to close out a game, and close down a baseball game is one of the hardest things to do.
Hey, Ryan, take us through, like, how stressful it is for players prior to the trade deadline. Then when you bring in these new players, how long of an adjustment period? Because, like, the Orioles brought in, you know, number of players. So how long does it take to kind of get adjusted, and what do those players feel like with the new guys coming in?
Yeah, you know, it's each player is different, right? And each environment can bring out, you know, a different side of the player, right? And it, you know, part of it is, you know, are you an extrovert or are you an introvert? First off, you know, and how quickly are you able to adjust, and how much do you know of that new team? And, you know, I'll just give an example right now. I think last year why people were so on Jack Flaherty was because I think that Jack seems a little bit more reserved, right? And the Orioles clubhouse is very goofy. It takes time to kind of open up and get comfortable. And yeah, and it always helps if you pitch well. Now you got a guy like Eloy Jimenez right now that seems to just be very goofy and fitting in right in with the team, right? So every player is different. I think the hardest part of this time is when you know you're going to be on the move, or that's the possibility, is how do you stay locked in on the job at hand? You know, and for younger players, like everything, that is the harder thing to do. And the veterans seem to have a better grasp. Like Zach Eflin. Zach Eflin had an idea. He's been around. And he's that combination of he's a pro's pro and understands what he's got to do. But I'll tell you what, he's even more excited. He's joining one of the best teams in baseball trying to chase the World Series.
Ryan, great stuff. Appreciate your time today. We look forward to hearing you on Baltimore Baseball tonight again. And how can people find the Ryan Ripken Show?
Ryan Ripken Show, we do it live Mondays and Thursdays on YouTube. Have it out on Apple and Spotify. And, yeah, just at Ryan Ripken. And you got baseball questions, fire them away.
Ryan, appreciate you, man. We'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, Ryan.
You guys enjoy your Turn It Up Tuesday.
Oh, definitely. Definitely will. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the fun house, see what you guys are saying on the text line, bring in Quick Draw McGraw for that. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
A lot of texts here on Rashad Bateman, as you would probably guess.
Mm-hmm.
People very opinionated. Start with this texter here. It says, I don't know what John Harbaugh is talking about with the praise of Rashad Bateman. Bateman is a soft, injury-prone wide receiver. Definitely not a guy capable of being a top receiver at this point. He's done nothing here to warrant the praise.
Yeah, he just shown us some flashes, and I would agree with that. You know, I mean, his rookie year was probably his best when he had the deep catches and things. But he just needs to stack some good performances during games. And if he can do that, and I hope he can, then he'll be off and running, and he'll have people, you know, behind him. So until then, yeah, he's got to fight through all those things.
Well, as far as Harbaugh's comments there, which I guess the texter took issue with, I mean, Vinny, you say it all the time. When a coach speaks or a player speaks, it's not really for the fans. For Harbaugh in particular, it's for his own players.
No doubt.
You know, he can't go up there and say, well, you know, it's a little disappointing that Bateman got injured today. You know, he's just got to be all positive.
You're exactly right, Norm. Whenever a coach is talking, especially when they're doing their Monday press conference, he's talking to the players, players' wives, players' girlfriends. That's who he's talking to, because those are the people that are listening, because there's otherwise, what are they saying? Oh, did you hear what Coach Harbaugh said about you today? No, what?
Right.
You know, and then they're all pissed off. But that's why I've never heard Harb say, a negative thing about a player.
Very rarely is that the case.
All right.
I mean, to the texter, I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with a lot of what the texter is saying in the broad view, you know, in terms of looking at Bateman as a top tier receiver. We can't look at him as that right now because we haven't seen anything to warrant that. It's all optimism. It's all just kind of hoping that that's what he turns out to be. To his credit, he's looked good in camp so far. So, it doesn't mean anything until it translates to when the games actually count. But I do think Rashad Bateman right now is in the process of having to turn this optimism and this potential into true production. That's got to be the next step for him.
Yeah, you know who's identical to him? Owe.
Yeah, same guy. Really is. It really is. Yeah.
Same draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. This one here on the O-line, texter says, I don't think anybody can take this Ravens offensive line seriously. Probably the weakest part of the entire team, in my opinion. It was not addressed in the offseason. And now, too late to fix anything properly.
I disagree with that. I think it was addressed in the offseason because, you know, you got Voorhees, who was a redshirt. You were kind of counting on him. And then you drafted a guy in the second round. So, I mean, you did bring in a couple guys. And then you felt like you had some young guys that were ready to take the next step. So I think they did address it. And, you know, a lot of times is, you know, like you look at the inside linebacker spot. They addressed that last year to take Queen's spot. So they've been building up to this for a while.
I will agree with you. I think they tried to address it in the offseason. I'll also agree with the texter, and it probably is still their weakest spot on
the team
right now. I mean, you look at it. Yeah, Voorhees is probably he's looking like he's kind of the shoe-in for that left guard spot, but we're talking about the whole right side that's still up for grabs. And even once they make their decision, how comfortable are we with the guys that they do decide to go with on that side?
Well, I just kind of noticed that the quarterbacks are scrambling a lot in the team stuff when there's passing situations.
And we'll close things out here with Steve in Baltimore. He's talking Orioles. Says, I know it's kicking the can down the road a little bit, but if Kobe Mayo performs the way we think he will, Jackson Holliday continues the pace that he's on, Westberg comes back as part of the equation, maybe by the end of the regular season. What does the infield look like heading into October? Who is the odd man out?
I mean, I would imagine that if it would probably be Mayo as the odd man out. He'd probably be the utility guy off the bench, maybe some into the DH role if they really need a right-hand bat, assuming Eloy Jimenez cools off. And then you have Mayo as kind of that option for a right-handed DH. But they're not moving Mountcastle off of first base going into October. I mean, he's been too good defensively for them as a whole. Westberg is going to come back, take over third base. And I think Holliday would stay at second. So for me, it'd be Mayo that probably would come off the bench. And I don't want to be this dark cloud or anything, but I'm not buying that Eloy Jimenez is just going to stay hot the rest of the year. He's been great to this point. We'll see, but that could kind of be the avenue to get Mayo more playing time down the stretch. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll hear from John Harbaugh. We'll hear from Ardarius Washington, Malik Harrison, as well as all three of those guys spoke after yesterday's practice. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.